Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Brookfield India Real Estate Trust Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant clients will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. On the call, today we have from the management, Mr. Alok Aggarwal, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, Mr. Rachit Kothari, Non-Executive Director, Mr. Amit Jain, Chief Financial Officer of Brookprop Management Services Private Limited, and Mr. Shailendra Sabhnani from Brookfield. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alok, and welcome to Brookfield India Real Estate Trust Q2 FY26 earnings call. I extend a warm welcome to all our unit holders, analysts, and participants joining us today. Let me begin by sharing some insights on India's macroeconomic environment and its continued relevance to the office real estate sector. India continues to be one of the fastest-growing large economies in the world. The macroeconomic environment remains supportive, with stable inflation and a pro-growth monetary policy stance. Following the cumulative 100 basis points repo rate cut this year, liquidity has improved, and that's creating a positive setup for businesses and investments. The Indian office market continues to demonstrate remarkable resilience and depth. Gross leasing activity for the first 9 months in calendar year 2025 achieved a record 60 million sq ft. The sector is on track to surpass 90 million sq ft of annual leasing activity. Global Capability Centers, or GCCs, contributed more than 38% of total absorption in Q3 CY25, a clear indicator of sustained occupier confidence and India's position as an office to the world. Another noteworthy development during the quarter was SEBI's recent reclassification of REITs as equity instruments. This progressive move is expected to enhance liquidity, broaden institutional participation, and further strengthen investor confidence in the REIT ecosystem, a positive step that reinforces REIT's position as a mainstream asset class within capital markets. Turning to Brookfield India REIT, I'm pleased to report another strong quarter of business performance for Brookfield India REIT, marked by healthy leasing activity, continued occupancy growth, and robust financial performance. When we talk about leasing and occupancy, during Q2 FY26, we achieved gross leasing of 592,000 sq ft, maintaining strong leasing momentum. About 46% of this leasing came from GCCs, reaffirming their continued preference for high-quality, institutionally managed campuses like ours. Our committed occupancy has now surpassed 90%, an increase of over 10% since the SEZ policy reforms were initiated in 2023 end. Importantly, leasing traction continues to be broad-based across SEZ, IT, commercial, and NCA spaces. Over the last 24 months, we have cumulatively leased over 6.4 million sq ft, with GCCs contributing more than 35% of that leasing volume. We also recorded a re-leasing spread of 21%, reflecting the underlying strength of our portfolio and the quality of our tenant base. We are also excited to announce the proposed acquisition of Ecoworld, a fully built and stable Grade A large office campus located in Outer Ring Road, Bangalore, one of the best-performing micro-markets in India. This campus has occupancy of 94% and expected to touch occupancy of 96-97% in the next 3 months. This transaction, when completed, will be transformational for Brookfield India REIT. This will mark entry of Brookfield India REIT to Bangalore at scale. The transaction will increase our operating area by over 31%, expand our GAV by about 35%, and take our pan-India footprint to 7 cities. This will also improve tenant diversification by increasing the share of GCCs to 45% from 37% and reduce the share of top 10 tenants to 30% from 34%. Post-acquisition, our portfolio will have over 32 million square feet of operating assets, making us one of the largest and most diversified office REITs in India. In terms of our ESG commitments and progress, during this quarter, we continue to do so, and we have got recognition from global ESG institutions. We have received 5-star guest rating for the 4th consecutive year. Our key recognitions in the ESG include S-certifications by IFC for majority of buildings in downtown Powai, recognizing excellence in energy and water efficiency, 5-star BEE ratings for several assets including downtown Powai, SEG, Prudential, Delphi, Spectra and Winchester buildings. British Safety Council 5-star ratings for majority of our assets. Looking ahead, we expect the leasing environment to remain robust, driven by continued expansion of GCCs and India's position as a global technology and service hub. With over 90% of occupancy, a strong leasing pipeline, and the proposed EcoWatt acquisition, we are well positioned for sustained NOI and distribution growth in the coming quarters. Let me request Amit to take you through the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Alok, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to share that we have continued our strong financial performance in Q2 FY 2026. Our net operating income for the quarter stood at Rs. 510 crores. This reflects steady YOY growth of around 13%. Including North Commercial Portfolio, the NOI stands at Rs. 640 crores. We declared a distribution of Rs. 5.25 per unit, translating to Rs. 336 crores in totality, a 14% YOY increase compared to Q2 FY 2025. Our net asset value stands at Rs. 349 per unit, up 4% in H1 FY 2026. Adjusting for non-cash, non-GAAP items like deferred tax liabilities and goodwill for North Commercial Portfolio, the NAV shall be Rs. 354 rupees per unit. Our balance sheet remains robust with LTV at 21.6%, excluding shareholder instruments, and AAA stable ratings from both ICRA and CRISIL. The average interest rate today stands at 7.5% for the REIT and would be positively benefited by any future repo rate cut given majority of our portfolio debt are repo-linked. We have a long-dated debt profile, minimal near-term amortizations, and ample headroom for future acquisitions. In addition to what Alok highlighted, the proposed acquisition of EcoWorld is going to be a great addition to Brookfield India REIT in terms of numbers. The proposed acquisition at 13,125 crores is at a discount of 6.5% compared to average GAV computed by two independent registered valuers. Addition of EcoWorld will help increase our pro forma NAV to Rs. 355 per unit from current Rs. 349 per unit and would also be accretive from DPU standpoint, increasing the DPU by 3% on pro forma basis compared to current run rate. With this acquisition, the share of dividends in total distribution is also expected to double to approximately 30% from current levels of 15 to 16%. Let me now request Rachit to take you through more details on the proposed acquisition of EcoWorld.
Thanks, Amit. This is a big milestone for us, and we are very excited to be announcing what is going to be, if approved, the largest deal in the Indian REIT space to date. But more than that, we're excited for the fact that this truly completes our pan-India story, that's the journey we had set out on when we listed this REIT in 2021. As many of you would be aware, most large parks in Bangalore are already under a REIT structure or are proposed to be under REIT structures. And to that extent, this acquisition was both strategic and important to our REIT in particular. The REIT was close to this situation for over a year. We had been talking to the investors about it as a part of our earnings presentations and had already raised about 4,500 crores of capital that we are now proposing to top up by launching another 2,500 to 3,500 crores of fundraise that will help us conclude this transaction. There are a few important points that I'd like to mention since we have the benefit of all of you on this call. First, this acquisition will mark a large entry for our REIT into Bangalore, as Alok highlighted, making it a truly pan-India REIT. Bangalore will be almost 30% of our value and income economics going forward. Second, the transaction is being structured very well to match payment with income. The REIT is going to pay for the lease tariff upfront when they close the transaction, and will get 18 months to pay for the vacant tower, which is going into refurbishment, which will give it time to relaunch it, lease it, and also raise capital to finance it. Third, the projected metrics are very attractive on both counts, yields and returns. The REIT is acquiring or proposing to acquire this asset at a 7.7% forward cap rate on the lease start, which sets up to almost 8% DPU yield on the incremental 3,500 crore equity that is going to be deployed here, which is 25% higher than where our stock is trading in yield terms today. Second, a portion of the asset is still under-rented, which creates a 7% per annum growth potential over the next 5 years as these mark-to-markets get realized. And lastly, on the returns, the asset IRR with 7.7% entry cap rate and a 7% growth will stack up to close to 14.5% on the 13,000 crore price that we have, which would mean an 18% equity IRR on the acquisition standalone, but 25% incremental IRR for the REIT on the 3,500 crore equity that is yet to raise to finance this deal, making it a truly attractive proposition to significantly uplift the overall total returns of the REIT while keeping the LTVs below 35%. And lastly, we have been highly focused, as you are all aware, on increasing share of dividends in our DPU to increase its appeal to a larger investor base. This transaction will pull our dividend share up to almost 30% in the short term, which will improve the post-tax yields in the hands of our investors and make the stock more inclusive. With that, we'll ask the moderator to open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much and congratulations on good performance from leasing. But more importantly, if you can also explain on this transaction, how would you look at this 7.7% forward cap rate? If you can just throw some details behind it, it would be very helpful.
Yeah, so Puneet, I think this cap rate is based on a forward estimate for financial year 2027, which is almost next 12 months versus where we've closed this transaction at. This is today, if you look at this asset, it's about 94% occupied at 102 rupees of average rent, which is about 850 odd crore of run rate in OLR terms, and add to it the service provider income, we're almost close to about 870 or 860 odd crore, right? Now from this point onwards,
this is inclusive of service provider, no?
This is inclusive, sorry, so 850 is inclusive of service provider. Add to it two things, 5% growth for the next 12 months, because this is September ending numbers to September ending numbers. So that
this is FY27,
no? FY27. That is correct. So on an average, September at the middle of that financial year would be the midpoint that you can compare to where you are right now on these metrics. So that's okay. September to September, a 5% growth on the OLR.
Okay.
102 is what committed as of date, Puneet, if that's the confusion.
No, so my understanding is 850 crores divided by 13,000 crores, right? It doesn't come to 7.5 is what I'm trying to understand. Am I missing something here?
Okay, so let me break it down. 850 crores is from 7.1 million square feet at 94% occupancy. For that, the REIT is paying 12,000 crores, right?
Okay.
So you have to first take 850 to its true income potential. As Alok outlined, there are advanced conversations that can take this occupancy to 96-97% in the near term. So when you gross up for that and you provide for a year of growth to take this to forward income, that will come to almost 900 crores or 910 crores. That you have to divide by 12,000 to arrive at the 7.6-7.7 number.
Okay, 910 by 12,000, that's what you're saying.
Yes, that's correct. So 850 of run rate plus 40 of a year of escalations and another 20 crores on account of the lease up that is in advanced stages. We have good visibility of a 900 to 920 crores kind of a number, which gives you the 7.6 to 7.7 cap rate on the 12,000. Now, on the deferred component, which is the tranche 2, that 1100 crores is against a separate 700,000 square feet building for which we are getting 18 months to pay and at the same time 18 months time to lease it, which at a market rent of about 115 would generate NOI of close to 105 crores, which will set up to close to late 8 kind of a cap rate on that tower separately.
Right. Okay. The a few more things. So, you know, occupancy for this building was only 85% till almost 6 months back. How soon would the 94% start generating rentals? Is there a fit out period, etc.?
Yeah, so 85 was including the towers that for which we are deferring the payment. So if you adjust for that, you know, you take out 10% from the denominator, 85 will gross up to 93-94, which is really where we are at right now. So this is all very near term, but Alok, feel free to add.
No. So, of course, market has seen a lot of traction, and rents are in tune of 3, 4, 5 months, and you know most of these leases would start generating rents in near term. This is not going to take few quarters, next 2 months.
For the existing 7.1 million square feet, would you see a need for any major refurbishments in the next 1 to 2 years?
No, these are all occupied where the refurbishments have to be done. They already have done. So, no major refurbishments required rather than the general refurbishments which could be required in any campus.
Understood. And lastly, just on the technical side, when I look at the valuer's report, the rental is 92. Versus your presentation to 302, can you help me bridge the gap? I think some parking and other things need to be added, but if you can just break it down, it will be very helpful.
Yeah, hi Puneet. Yes, this 92 number is the bombshell rent, average rental. So there is approximately 4 spaces of parking. So 92 plus 4 is 97. And there is the committed LOI that is going to kind of come in, which will kind of take that number, almost like 0.7 million square feet of signed LOIs, which will kind of start generating rent, which are at higher rents of closer to 110, which will kind of take this number from a 97 to 102. So that is the 102 number that you kind of see in the presentation today.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashish Gilganchi from BOB Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on signing the binding agreement to acquire Kuwait. I would like to know when you expect to close the deal and when the asset is likely to start generating revenue for BJ. And also, is there a ramp-up period before the asset is expected to start operating at a stabilized level?
Yeah, so for the closing, I think our target is to close it within this quarter or early next quarter. I think the intention will do it as soon as possible, which means you can expect income to come from next quarter onwards from this portfolio, either partially or for the full quarter. And we don't expect any significant ramp-up period because we're very close to the 96% mark on the occupancy. Of course, there will be lease-ups in the portfolio. Traditionally, the asset has been 98-99% occupied. So we may still see a couple of percentage points picking up, but it will be fairly stable from an income generation standpoint.
Okay, so just so I understand this correctly, so you expect to close the deal this quarter and the revenues to start coming in 4Q.
That's correct. That's our target.
Mr. Yashish?
Thank you so much. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on the acquisition. So my first question, just a clarification, if you look at the recent acquisition of Echo World, there seems to be another sponsor asset in proximity, which is Echo Space, which does not seem to be part of the deal. So could you share some insight in terms of how we should read this and at what stage would you also look to acquire the 1.6 million square feet at Echo Space?
Yeah, no, so that's a good observation. I think at this point in time, our focus is on Eco World. You know, Eco Space can potentially come in the following years should the sponsor want to sell that asset. But we react to it when it comes to market. But at this point, I think our focus is just on Eco World to conclude the transaction. But that's a smaller asset, as you said. It's 1/5 the size of what we are buying. So it will be, I would say, very complementary and strategic to us whenever it comes to market.
Sure. Thanks, Rajiv. Just a follow-up, the sponsor recently acquired a mixed-use land parcel in BKC as well, and you have about 0.2 million square feet in three floors in G-Block BKC, and this asset which you've acquired is again in G-Block. So at what stage would you look to potentially bring that, about 1 million square feet in BKC in as part of the REIT, or is it too early to think of, the BKC assets coming in into the REIT platform?
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit too early. I think it's still at a greenfield stage. There's at least 4 to 5 years of hard work left on that property before it starts generating rent. So it will become suitable for the REIT at a later point in time. On your observation on Godrej BKC, I think it can be fairly near term. Should the sponsor want to sell the asset. This is 250,000 square feet in BKC in one of the better buildings. So clearly the REIT will be interested as well.
Sure. So my second question to you, Alok, what feedback are you getting from your tenants regarding future leasing opportunities considering, the global uncertainties? Are you seeing some pause in terms of leasing decisions or any delays in terms of finalization of deals?
So Karan, actually, we have been dealing with these uncertainties for the last, I would say, 5 to 6 years. But I can tell you, things have never been so better what we've seen in the last 12 months. We have seen that happening. Occupancy for REIT has moved up considerably, and it's kind of inching every month. And today we have, as per SEG reforms also have played a role. We have SEG vacancy has gone down, and what we have converted, we are able to get new tenants, new kind of tenants which are never we could get them into our campuses. And if you really see the occupancy terms, occupancy numbers, I would say you can go to slide of 14. So there you can get a sense. Most of our non-SEG assets are around 95-98%. SEG, even SEG without non-processing area is 91%. Only non-processing area, which started coming to market 18 months, 20 months back, is ramping up. It's moving from 0 to, it has 61%, and it will move to higher numbers. Pipeline is strong. So, fairly strong momentum, and what was happening in US, at least what we think and what we hear, that will again drive stronger, I would say, outsourcing or movement to India. That probably will strengthen, So, that's the sense here.
Sure. And this is helpful. And last question, Alok, how are you observing the demand from flex space operators across your portfolio, especially since many other REITs have been highlighting them among their top tenants? So how do you view this segment as a demand driver, and is its presence within your portfolio increasing?
So our target is, our target is to have about 5 or maximum 10% of our space, go to flex space operators. So that's a target, and that demand is there. And we are, we have like in Pawai, we have, given a space. This building which got vacated has been given to co-works, and they have tied up with a global tenant. So they are definitely helping us in kind of a move, letting us move our office.
This is helpful, Alok. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just continuing with the previous question on, the SEZ properties, could you give some specific color on when the occupancy across your Gurgaon properties, G1, G2, and actually even N2, start moving up? So some specific timelines in the next couple of quarters or so?
No, so this is always already moving up. I mean, and let me kind of talk about G2, which was, I think last quarter was at 73, now it's at 78. So 5% kind of occupancy has moved up in last one quarter. again, you know, given occupancy, if you see over next last 12 months, you will see improvement. K1 again, as you had moved substantially up, N2 again have moved up. So it's kind of a moving up, but our sense is, as we are saying, you know, our target for year end around 93%. So that largely will be contributed by these SEGs only. So there's the scope for non-SEG properties to move up is there, but they're already at 95%, 98%, you know, 8%, 100%. So there the scope is, you know, limited. Of course, it will move up. Largely these SEGs will be driving up the growth in occupancy.
Understood. That's clear. And the yeah, sir. Okay. My second question is, you know, on the acquisition, you know, post this acquisition, you'll be having a debt to GAV of almost 34%. You know, this is including the 2,500 crores fundraise that you'll be doing. So, how comfortable are you with this? You know, this level of debt and what will be a comfortable target for you in the long run? Also, the second part of that question will be, what is the cost of debt for both the SPV level debt and the REIT level debt that will be raising?
So, Mohit, you know, we've historically also stated that our long-term sustainable debt range is typically in the 33% to 35% range. And with this acquisition and the debt sizing that we are doing, we are effectively getting into this range. This comfortably maintains ratings at a AAA level while ensuring the best capital efficiency. So we see this pretty much as a fairly sustainable kind of zip code that we will remain in. In terms of the cost of financing, if you look at the current portfolio, we are at 7.5%. The new debt on EcoWorld should also be in the same zip code, and the REIT bond pricing should be in the 7 to 7.25 kind of a zip code, which is where current yields are. Obviously, the pricing there would be more dependent on how the markets are closer to when we actually do this transaction. But that's pretty much, you know, how the debt numbers would look like.
Perfect. That answers my question. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pritesh Sheth from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question on the acquisition. So you talked about 18% IRR and 25% incremental IRR. Just sort of, you know, some clarification. Can you exactly, you know, again reiterate those numbers just for the clarification sake?
So let me break this down for you. I think on the 12,000 crores that are supposed to go out upfront, the cap rate is about 7.7. And that, this is against the lease towers, and these lease towers have a 7% growth profile on a 5-year basis, as a combination of the contracted growth of 5% per year, plus percent additional to the MTM. So there's about 30-35% of area that's coming up for expiry at almost 30% MTM in this period. Right, so this gives us a 7% annualized CAGR. So this stacks up to 14.5% asset level IRR. The tranche 2, which is again the empty tower, will be bought at a late stage kind of a cap rate with a 5% growth profile. So that also stacks up to a 14% asset level IRR. So on an average on the asset, you're making 14 to 14.5%. Right? On top of it, if you just look at the acquisition standalone at 33% LTV, which has been a guidance all throughout, borrowings are going to be at 7.5 as Shailendra described. So you will be able to add on the equity side another 3 to 4% for the equity IRR because of the leverage. So that's about 18% on the acquisition standalone 33% LTV. Right? Are you with me this far?
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Right. And now, because to finance this acquisition, part of the money is going to be raised to incremental debt between 7 to 7.25, as Shailendra described. 50% of money is going to come from that, 50% is the incremental fundraise, right? So you're basically going to get 18% returns while financing half of it at 7 to 7.25, which means it's going to be 25 on the incremental equity.
Got it. Very clear with the math. Thank you for that. Just on the existing portfolio, so when you talked about this Crystal House, erstwhile Crystal House, which got released, but just trying to understand the MTM or the rent that we would have contracted for that, or maybe in just in terms of percentage, you can quote how much re-leasing spread that we got on that.
Almost about 30% over the long term lease we had.
Got it. And on this interest rate, the cost of debt that we have now, I think it has gone off quite a bit quarter to quarter. Yet I think on the cash interest outgo, we are not seeing too much changes in this quarter. So potentially it will come next quarter, is it?
No. So yeah, the full impact of 100 basis points rate cut fully built into the portfolio mid of the quarter, right? So it's from next quarter onwards, you will see a full quarterly impact of 100 basis points rate cut.
Yeah, just from the existing debt, I'm sure, we would have a new debt which will come in once we complete the acquisition, but just on the existing debt, how much on the absolute basis you see this interest cost further going down?
So on, in absolute terms, it will be, say, a quarterly impact of around 10 crores on the total debt number.
Got it, fair enough. Just on this SEZ properties again, you gave a qualitative comments earlier, but you mentioned about strong leasing pipeline that you are looking at. If you can quantify, occupancy targets, for the SEZ property by this year end or next year, what would it be?
So as I said that, by March end, we are looking at around 93% occupancy. And as I said, bulk of that occupancy ramp up happens from SEZ properties only because SEZ is already at 95% plus. So we can do a math actually. I don't have a individual.
Yeah.
But the SEZ will move, let's say around, the north around 90-91%.
Sure, that's really helpful. Thank you, that's it from my side and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sumit Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to get a clarification on the deal terms.
Yes, Sumit, please go ahead.
The line for the Sumit Kumar has been disconnected. The next question comes from the line of Kunal from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. One question on the refurbishment capex, that you have planned for the 7.7 million part of the asset acquisition. So if you can just help us sort of come up to speed on if any major refurbishments have been undertaken in the park over the last 5-6 years, because I know the asset has been in operation for several years, or if you could sort of give a quick comparison as to how you would expect the refurbishment capex here over the next 5 years to be different from the rest of your portfolio. Thank you.
So, if you really see this asset, some of the buildings have come up, I would say, in the last, 10 to 15 years. It's not all that, it's not that. They're old buildings, and they've been maintained well. They're one of the best buildings, running with the best centers. But now, about 150 CR, what we're proposing is because it's, campus C, ABC is getting, it's getting vacated. So there we're going to put 150, bring the building to the best of the top-notch buildings available today. And because again, when it's going to lease out for the next 20 years, then there's no opportunity to do CapEx when the building is leased out. Other than campus, normal upgrades have been done. So major requirement was there.
Right. Alok, essentially, would you think that as you're looking to realize the MTM potential, they should not need to upgrade CapEx in the current status of the building should get you there?
No. The existing buildings, whatever the MTN will happen, they are getting even parts also, they are getting leased out on the basis as it is basis.
So no major CapEx?
No major CapEx is required. Yeah. Except for campus CHCBC, they are putting one
place. So Kunal, if the question was, have we spent money upgrading, you know, the 7.1 million square feet in the previous ownership, the answer to that is yes, and a lot of it is now complete as of this quarter. Most of that, those CapEx programs are complete. Half of the portfolio is actually fairly new, delivered between 2015 to 2018 for most part. So those buildings continue to, of course, perform very well and do not require that much CapEx, but the older parts of the portfolio have been taken care of, except 3ABC, like Alok said, where we are projecting a 150 crore CapEx. It is very likely that somebody just takes it as is, but at least for now our plan is to refurbish it and relaunch it, and hopefully get 5 to 10 rupees more on the rent if we can.
Okay, got it. Exactly, I had exactly that in mind because, I mean, you know, there's been some recent feedback that with buildings approaching 15-year mark, you know, there are cases when, you know, if you need to push for an MTM increase, you know, upgrade CapEx is sort of required. If that's been undertaken last few years as well, I think, you know, that's exactly what I wanted to clarify.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Chaudhary from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Firstly, how should one see the DPU trajectory going ahead, especially in near to medium term, because the asset is essentially getting operationalized or consolidated towards the end of fiscal 26. And as and when the funding structure settles, could we see some temporary dip or a flattish trajectory of DPU? So, yeah.
No, so the question is just on the acquisition or for the overall REIT, just to clarify?
For the overall REIT.
Yeah, Girish, so look, I think we are still in the overall REIT. When we add this property, we are still only about 91% occupied. There's a fair amount of lease-up that is there in front of us. Alok mentioned we're looking to end the year at the 93% mark. So there will be fillip coming from the lease-up. There will be, of course, the rent growth that we have as a part of our contract. And lastly, I think the borrowing cost benefit has not fully flown into the DPU, as Amit pointed out. But I think it will be a combination of all these three, which are all positive, that should ideally push this up forward. You know, we do not anticipate a decline at this point in the DPU performance. Certainly in a situation where the incremental acquisition that we are doing is at 20-25% higher DPU levels than what we are currently trading at.
And also, expectation are that repo rate should go down further. So if that happens, you know, that will be an incremental impact on the cash flows for the REIT.
Got it. And secondly, on the acquisition on the asset EcoWorld, like you mentioned, the current occupancy is 94%, and you intend, and your assumptions mention 97.5%. So just to understand this better, how much is committed till now? Because to achieve 97.5 rental generating, we need a lot of commitments by in the next 2-3 months, right? So,
fair observations. 94% is committed, and you know we have advanced discussions, which probably can take to you know very advanced discussions where the It has not been signed, but in principle agreed that makes it 96%. So then balance and the, you know, 100 to 150 basis points is something has to work. The pipeline is very strong. We've seen how the property has got ramped up. So we are confident we should be able to achieve those numbers.
And I'll also add that there are three components of spaces in this park, right? If you see, and this is on page 5 of our acquisition deck, a commercial portfolio of 4 million is 97% occupied. SEZs are 97% occupied. The only vacancy is in NPA spaces that we are in the process of converting. Once that conversion finishes, we will see this also go to 97. You know, that confidence is there in the management today that with only a small amount of space left, it should be fairly straightforward to get, you know, 97-98% occupancy.
Got it. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah.
My question is on the two clauses of the deal structure. One is the rent-free true-up and the other one would be the FSI earn-out. If you could explain it in a detail, please.
Yeah, so rent-free true-up is fairly straightforward. On the committed tenancies that are there in the portfolio today, which are part of the 94%, whatever rent-free periods have been committed, because some of these are new leases, those rent-free period will be compensated by the seller in cash. So that totals to almost close to 100 crores. The number has been settled at 100 crores. So this in a way is cash that will be available for distribution without having income lag from the rent-free period. Right? So this ensures that the full rent potential of the property is translating into NDCF. Are we clear on that? And then I can move to
that. Yeah, okay. So this is nothing speculative, right? Everything is tied up based on the leases that have been signed till date.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked, and I think that's exactly the point. This is not speculative. This is against committed tenancies. There's no leasing assumed here. This is all leased here.
Yeah. And on the FSI earnout, what is that, and on what conditions will that become payable?
Yeah, so I think this is, and again, this is more detailed out in, I think, page 18 of the acquisition presentation. But I think the idea really here was that the campus 3 ABC that we're planning to refurbish, while our base case plan is to refurbish it, for whatever reason, there is an FSI upside here that gets unlocked because of the TOD policy in Karnataka. Given this property sits very close to the metro line, there is a possibility that the REIT might undertake a full redevelopment of this property, if it is profitable for the REIT. And in that situation, there's a formula that has been determined to see if the seller can be paid something additional. However, the management has done its estimate and its negotiations, and up to 1 million square feet of additional FSI, nothing becomes payable. Which I think is really the plan. I think five and a half acres should not take more than 1 million square feet of additional FSI on top of what is already there. So it's very unlikely that something like this becomes payable unless there are savings in costs as per the formula. But for whatever it's worth, if there is more FSI, there is more upside for the REIT and it's sharing it with the seller.
Okay. Just one follow-up on this. Suppose if this goes for redevelopment, then the FY29 uplift of NOI will not hold. It will get pushed forward.
That is correct. It will get pushed forward and the economics mentioned on page 18 will take over. Which means that the property will then be, instead of 150 crores, we'll be spending 1500 crores to build it. And that will lead to another 1500 crores of profits. So that's honestly a 2x kind of investment if we were to redevelop it. And economics is on page 18. But we expect that if we manage to get additional FSI, unless we are really committed to a tenant in campus 3 ABC, it is likely that a redevelopment may make more sense on that date.
Sure, okay. Quite helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Murtuza Arsiwala from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to re-emphasize on that 3A and on slide 18 itself. So in the base case where there is a 1.5 billion of capex, that is going to be spent by the seller? In the base case scenario, or that's an additional cost to us over and above the 11 billion?
Yeah, that's a cost to the REIT. It will be spent by the REIT.
That's spent by the REIT. And should the upside case work out, which is that you get the additional FSI, in that case, the total cost of the project then becomes 30 billion, which includes the 1.5 billion capex. Like, you just go through the entire FSI premium, the approval cost, and the additional 15 billion of development cost. So the entire project becomes a 30 billion project as opposed to your base case, which is 11.2, which you pay, and the 1.5 billion of capex.
That is correct. So 15 will be inclusive of that. Maybe a little bit higher, but nothing significant. But it will be inclusive.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. My question is, number one, on the FY27 expiry for this project, there is, you know, excluding the campuses, there's still a 0.7 million square feet expiry, and you talked about additional 3.5% occupancy, so roughly close to a million square feet will need to be leased out. What is the visibility on that, and do you think there is potential for some bit of disruption in 27 in terms of some rent freeze, etc., which can distort the FY27?
So our judgment is that this is FY27, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should be, you know, so we should be able to this trend should continue. That's my sense.
Okay. And yeah, so all 0.7 will renew in a way.
I think so.
Okay. That's helpful. And secondly, on this campus fee redevelopment, you have already factored in a million square feet of additional SSI, right? And in case, and is that still contingent on government approvals, etc., or is it a done deal and you're looking for anything over and above this 1 million square feet?
No additional SSI is a done deal right now. In fact, the TOD policy is not notified. For all practical purposes, the base case is what you see on the left side of the page. Right side is only an upside if it happens in short order. Otherwise, I think the REIT will be well settled on its plan to refurbish the building. So, nothing has
been Okay, and 1125 is still a firm payment? It's not a condition precedent on this TOD?
No. Okay. That's for the structure that stands today. FSI and not is the condition
payment. Understood. If you can just share some numbers on net debt for North Commercial Portfolio and for the GIC co-owned portfolio.
Should be a part of the presentation.
It's a gross debt number, net debt.
3200 odd crores would be the gross debt for the North Commercial Portfolio.
Yeah, net.
Just give us, wouldn't be very different to my mind, but we can come back on that, Puneet. The other question was on the GIC.
GIC, yeah. Net debt there.
Net debt on the GIC portfolio. Just give us a second. But what are the gross numbers? 4500 crores is the gross debt number, Puneet, on the GIC owned JV portfolio. Which is G1 and Kairos. We'll come back to you separately on the net debt numbers on these.
Okay, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question.
So we can close, if there are no more questions, and let me just kind of close the meeting. So with a strong operational base, disciplined capital management, the transformational acquisition in the pipeline, Brookfield REIT is entering its next phase of scale and growth. With that, I would close the meeting.
Thank you.
On behalf of Brookfield India Real Estate Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.